Revelations 22, we'll start reading in verses 1 and go to verse 6. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And it's the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no light, no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Now, first off, before I get into these three blessed truths, we need to know from the context who these are that are described in this text. They're called the church. They're called the elect from every tribe, kindred, and tongue, the chosen of God, those predestinated of God from before the world was. For look with me at verse 3. And his servants. So that's who he's talking about in the context here, these first several verses. The servants, that is his church, that is the first begotten from the dead, his elect. So that we see these are the ones who he's speaking about specifically, particularly distinguishes them from others. These have been called out of darkness, because we know we ourselves have been called from darkness. These are they which have been chosen in Christ. These are those having heard the good news of the free substitutionary work of Christ for them. These are they who are quickened by the Holy Spirit and made, says the scriptures, to be partakers with the saints in light. These are the ones spoken of, these servants of his. These also know, without question, from the scriptures, that they did not come to God of their own supposed free will. They did not come to God based on their good works or any other thing found in them. That they were saved, they were called, they were quickened, and that God has done all the work. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He has done all the work necessary for us and unto us by Jesus Christ. Solely and specifically by Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for them. He died that we might live. He became poor so we would become rich in spiritual blessings. He was numbered with the transgressors so these specific transgressors would go free. Now, what are these three blessed truths that shall see their climax in glory or in heaven? Look with me at the last part of verse 3. And verse 4. The first truth is his servants shall serve him. The second truth is they shall see his face. And the third truth is his name shall be in their foreheads. We're just going to look at these three. And I don't know how clear and how plain, if I even fully understand these three blessed truths. How can I? I'm looking, still looking through the glass dimly. But this is true. These three are true. These are blessed truths. And I want us to, if you want to close your eyes and muse upon it, think about it. This is what glory will be for the believer. And just to think about it, to get our mind out of the nonsense that's going on in this country, out of the nonsense that goes upon us or with us day by day, you just get saturated with people. You get saturated with negativity. You get saturated with sin, our own and everybody else's. So what a blessed this thing. Well, just to muse upon this. The first thought, we shall serve him. His servants shall serve him. Oh, this will be heaven to us, to be able to serve Christ completely. No times of distractions. No times of pain. No seasons of sorrow. No cares of this world, which seems like it's always tugging at us. You get a time of quietness. Maybe you get down on your knees. I don't have anything about postures of prayer. Well, however you go before the Lord, and the kids need something, and they interrupt. The phone, which we carry with us everywhere, rings or vibrates. The news, which is 24/7, hospitals, restaurants, everywhere, something is going on. Somebody's got an opinion about something. The cares of the day, the worries of this flesh, will all be wiped away. His servants shall serve him. Wiped away, the saints in glory will never experience any distractions ever again. 100% service to our King, our Lord. All hindrances are now ceased. Let the holy celebration begin. We will adore his perfections like never before. We will ascribe glory to his unerring providence, magnifying the riches of his grace. You want to know why this, your neighbor, this person in your family, or this, they got sick, or this, or all these things will be answered. You'll see it as you've never seen it before. And there'll be no sin. There'll be no sin there. I've said this many times. We sing that hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer, and I laugh at that. When was the last time you prayed for an hour? Yeah, I'd get tired, go to sleep. Old Maurice used to say, if you're tired and you can't sleep, pick up your Bible, you'll go to sleep. That's the flesh. He'll never be there again. We'll serve him. If you don't like to serve him now, you probably won't be there. Probably won't be there. So we'll exclaim with the loudest, clearest voice, salvation belongeth unto our God. We will reign forever and ever with him, serving him. Serving him. Secondly, verse 4, and they shall see his face. This, we're serving him, and yet we can behold his face. One writer said, blessed union of both Mary and Martha. You remember the story of Mary and Martha? Martha got rebuked, reproved. But Mary did the prophet. There will be no rebukes, because we'll be able to do them both. We'll be able to serve him and yet behold his face. Explain that? Can't do it now. But we'll be beholding and serving our loving Lord. There'll be no breach in our eternal communion with the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And there'll be no more looking through a glass darkly, but face to face. More than a gaze, more than a quick glimpse, but a full, complete, everlasting stare upon our beloved. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. I think this says it pretty close as 1 John chapter 1. Starting in verse 1, 1 John, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, and we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show it unto you, that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Those three verses will be completely, totally realized. And then one of my favorite verses in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now that verse will be totally fulfilled, because we shall see his face. We shall see his face. To both serve and commune daily, eternally, perpetually, from age to age, with our Lord, that will be heaven to us who have longed for such sights while here. And that's perhaps even as poorly as I can speak, and as poorly and unclearly as I speak, and I'm asking, and you ask for me, that I would preach clearly, and I would speak clearly and distinctly, and give the sense as it is given to me. We're a work in progress. We're always growing in grace. But to be able to see him face to face, and no more stammering, no more stuttering, no more being tripped up by language. Truly, David said it well. He said in Psalms 17, and you don't have to turn here, verse 15, I'll read it. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Face to face. Can you think of it? Can you think about it? Can you think about it? This is, I hate to say, this is retirement times 1,000. You know, you got nothing to do but serve and serve the one you love with no hindrances, no detours, no roadblocks, with one voice of the church universal that has been purchased with his blood in unison, in harmony. Nobody seeking their own glory. Everybody seeking God's glory. Thirdly, first we saw the servants serving him. Then we saw that they'll see his face. But lastly, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Now perhaps this is a reference to the mitre on the high priest's forehead that said holiness to the Lord. In the Old Testament, they had that mitre. It's on their forehead. But I think what it tells more than that is we will be fully identified as his people. His servants, his chosen ones. There'll be no questions. We will be his people as he is our God without question. He loves us, owns us. He has cared for us and will never depart from us because His name is in our foreheads. The mark of inward grace now takes full form upon us outwardly. You know, people say, well, how do you know somebody's a Christian? Well, it's an inward thing. And it does show itself outwardly, but so does our flesh. So does our flesh. But now, faith is gone. It's full sight. And His mark upon us is not an inward mark. It's a complete mark. It's a total mark. All, and we'll own up, it's all by free, sovereign, irresistible grace. We are glad. We're overjoyed to own or wear His name. You remember in Isaiah 49, it says that He had us engraven in the palm of His hands. Now, we have His name engraven for all to see upon our foreheads. This we happily wear as a seal, a token of what He is to us. He is our tender Father, our elder brother, our balm in Gilead, our Father of mercies, our Jacob's ladder, our bread, our holy oil, and our life evermore. Rodney and I were talking when one of the messages gave, and you know, you could just go on about the names of Christ, what He is to the believer. He's the balm in Gilead. He's the oil of gladness. We're His trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And I just love to go over those Old Testament, Jacob's ladder. All these different things. You could spend hours just telling what He is to your soul and use just very scriptural language. Oh, my soul, happy thoughts await us in Canaan's land. We're His servants. We'll serve Him unhindered. We'll see His face. Nothing between. Or that song, nothing between my soul and the Savior. And He will have His names in our foreheads. Oh, to be face to face with Emmanuel. And you know what that means, Emmanuel. God with us. Well, here it'll be we with God. Eternally, truly, on purpose, God with us evermore. Let us dwell, muse, or think on these things. You know, Paul says, whatever's profitable, whatever's good, whatever's right, whatever's just, whatever, and he goes on, he lists a bunch of things. Think on these things. Well, let's think on these three blessed truths for this week. And I will say, I'll throw the challenge out. Because I've said, we'll just put these things down. We won't look at the news. Now, if you contact me or call me or talk to me, I'll check it. I'm going to put that thing down and live. Live with the full understanding that He who loved us and gave Himself for us will never leave or forsake us. And one day, soon, maybe not so soon, we'll serve Him. We'll see Him face to face. And we'll totally own Him as He owns us. To God be the glory. Bruce, would you close us?